Amen, amen. Thank you so much to Becca and to the band for leading us in that time of worship. It's so good to worship together, even though we may be spread out across the city of Sheffield and beyond. So hello, good morning, welcome. My name is Abby. I am part of the staff team here at STC. I help to oversee some of the young adults ministry here. And it is a real joy, a real privilege, a little bit scary, a little bit daunting as well, to have the opportunity to share from the Bible with you this morning. I moved to Sheffield coming up to 8 years ago now for university. I love the city. I've stayed here ever since so far. And yeah, it's just such a joy to be a part of this church family and to be a part of all that God is doing here. So if you've been around for the last few weeks, the last few months, you'll know that we've been moving through the life of Moses. And I feel like we've all become quite good friends with him now. We feel like we know him well. We're able to identify with him. And we're thinking about how we can learn from how Moses lived his life and what we see of how he led the people of God, the Israelites, as we look to kind of navigate 2021 well. A year that has brought lots of challenges, lots of unexpected things, lots of unknowns. We want to learn from Moses as we kind of move out of lockdown, move out of restrictions, and look to navigate this year well. And so a few weeks back, Helen talked about Sabbath as a weekly rhythm. Tom has talked about daily rhythms. And this week, we're kind of thinking about how these rhythms can lead us into a greater intimacy with God. And so we've been journeying through the book of Exodus. God has led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. He's taking them on a journey to the promised land that he is leading them into. And he's in the process of forming them into his people that will reflect his character, not just for themselves and for the people around them, but for the sake of all nations, that everybody can come to know God, that everybody can learn to walk in his ways. And in chapter 19 of Exodus, we get a key glimpse into the people that God is forming the Israelites to be. They are to be God's treasured possession, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. And so it's Moses who has been tasked at this time with leading these people that God is forming. Certainly no easy task. I don't really envy him with that. But the passage that we are in today is Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 to 23. And so I'll read those to us now. You might want to follow along at home in your own Bibles, and the verses should appear on the screen. But this is Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 to 23. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my..." The moments of solitude that Moses spends with God that kind of form and shape how he leads the people. And as I've been mulling over this passage for the past couple of weeks, I just keep coming back again and again to verse 13, where Moses says, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Teach me your ways so I may know you." And as I've been thinking about this, I just can't get away from the fact that Moses has had so many incredible encounters with God. He's seen God do some amazing things. And yet here, when he's talking to God, he still wants to know God. His heart's cry is simply to know God and to learn to walk in his ways.
And this is the same man Moses who doubted his ability to communicate, to go and speak to Pharaoh, and yet went so boldly to Pharaoh and was able to speak in front of him, and yet he wants to know God. This is the man who saw God perform miraculous signs in Egypt and lead his people out of slavery, and yet he wants to know God. Moses is seeing God part the Red Sea and lead his people to safety, and yet he still asks to know more of God. Moses is seeing God's daily provision in water from the rock, in manna on the ground. He's been on the top of Mount Sinai. He's heard the Ten Commandments that God is giving to his people that will kind of set the foundations for how his people live for generations and generations. And yet he asks to know God. And I could go on and on with more examples, but I think you probably start to get the picture. And I just feel so challenged by Moses' confidence that there's still more to know of God, that there is a greater depth of intimacy to be found in his relationship with God. He's not willing to settle for all that he's already experienced, all that he already knows. He knows there's still more to know about God, and for Moses, that's the only thing that's really worth pursuing. And I feel like at this point in Moses' relationship with God, all that he's seen him do, he could probably ask God to do anything. And yet, in his conversation with God, his heart's cry is to know him more. And I was thinking back to how a while ago someone asked me what kind of my greatest challenges in faith and in following God. And I think when I thought about it, it wasn't necessarily all the big questions or all the doubts. Actually, to be really honest, I think it's the challenge to not coast, to not plateau, to not kind of settle and get comfortable, to not push myself to kind of live in all the fullness that God has for me and have to rely on him for things that I can't do in my own strength. And I think at that stage, there's a danger of kind of settling, of not wanting to know more of God. But Moses' request to God here is a reminder that there is always more. And in verse 15, Moses goes on to say to God, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." And skipping back to the beginning of chapter 33, God has threatened to kind of stop accompanying his people further forward because they haven't been obeying him. He's angry. He doesn't know what he's going to do to them. But Moses is pleading with God to stay with them. Moses isn't interested in a life without God's presence. For Moses, walking with God, knowing his presence, was non-negotiable. And as I've been praying and thinking through this passage ahead of this morning, I think this is the invitation for us today to say yes to a greater intimacy with God, to say yes to more of him, to knowing more of him, to say yes afresh or maybe for the first time, God, I want to know you more. Last year in around August time, someone in Young Adults set up a 24-hour prayer Zoom room. And as I kind of joined for the 3 a.m. slot, I was secretly hoping nobody else was going to come on because it's fine to sign up to pray by yourself at 3 a.m., but I didn't really want to talk to anybody else. I was kind of drawn to reading Matthew chapter 16. And this is where Jesus is asking his disciples who they think he is. And Simon Peter responds to Jesus and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And to this, Jesus responds with quite a famous line saying, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And often we talk about how the Greek word for rock is Petra, and so it's like the name Peter. And so this is kind of Jesus talking about how God would use Peter to build his early church. And while this did happen, we can kind of look through the Gospels and Acts and see this happening. Some biblical scholars, as I was kind of looking into this, also suggest that that word rock refers to kind of Peter's realization of who Jesus was. It's on that solid foundation of knowing Jesus, of recognizing who he is, that God built his church. And I just find it amazing to think that all the way back in Exodus, Moses here is asking to know God more. And then kind of hundreds of years later, Jesus is saying that he will build his church on that knowledge of who God is. And so as I was praying through that kind of 24/7 prayer room, particularly for young adults that night, it was my heart's cry that we as a church would truly know God. And I flicked back and looked at what I'd written down in my journal at the time, and I'd said, how do we help people to encounter Jesus and come to know him? Because that's what it's really all about. So what does it mean to know God? If our hearts grow as like Moses, we ask God to know him more. How do we actually do this? What does this look like? I think the first thing to say here is that as Moses asked to know God more, God answered. And in verse 17, we see that God says, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." And straight away in the next chapter, in chapter 34, we get this beautiful statement where God sort of starts to reveal some of who he is. And in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 34, God says, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation." And there have been a few times so far, kind of through the Old Testament, where people have asked who God is. They've asked to know him. They've asked what his name is. They've asked him to reveal himself. But this is the first time in these couple of verses here where God really starts to kind of make a statement about himself. He starts to describe who he is. And what I think is really interesting is that God could have gone in kind of all guns blazing with the statement about how powerful, how mighty he is, because that's what we've seen so far in the Old Testament. But yeah, actually, God starts with his character. He starts with the fact that he is a compassionate and a gracious God. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. And I do realise we end on a bit of a tricky note about kind of punishing children for the sins of their parents, the third and fourth generation. But if we kind of look back at the Hebrew, I think we see a God whose mercy and whose forgiveness kind of outweighs that that punishment for sin. And it's kind of to the third and fourth generation that there's punishment, but to thousands that God shows his love. And I would really recommend John Mark Comer's book, God Has a Name. He unpacks really well, in much more detail than I can do right now, just kind of working through those couple of verses of what do we get to know about God in these verses and in the statement that God kind of makes. But I think the point that I sort of want to make here is that when Moses asked to know God, God responded. He started to reveal some of his character. He started to reveal who he was, who he is. And as we get to know God more, as we ask to know him more, we will encounter his character, the fact that he is compassionate, the fact that he is gracious, that he is loving, that he's slow to anger. We will get to know his character as we ask to know God more. And so I'd just like to kind of share a few ways that I feel like I've sort of experienced and have been thinking about how we get to know God more over the last few months. I think in amongst all the challenges of life in COVID and life under lockdown, actually one of the things that I did enjoy that was maybe a positive side of it was daily exercise with one other person, because I found that actually I started to get to know individual people a lot better when all you could do was really go on a lockdown walk. Some people that normally you might just see in a group of friends, actually if you wanted to see them, if you wanted to hang out, you had to go for that lockdown walk. And actually often there wasn't a lot of news to share, there weren't a lot of updates, you can only talk about the weather for so long that I feel like actually the conversation quickly kind of reached a much deeper level than maybe it would have done before. And yeah, just found that I started to get to know these few people a lot better during these lockdown walks. And I think that's a bit like God. Actually, we have to make the time to be with him one-on-one. Of course, kind of gathering with other people, gathering with community is so important to our faith as well. But I think I learned that there's something special, like we see with Moses. He kind of retreated and he took time one-on-one with God. Actually seeking God in the solitude, in the one-on-one time, we can get to know him better. And then also back last October, if you can cast your minds back to when Sheffield was going into tier three, if you remember that tier system, thanks Tom, things were sort of starting to change in my house a bit. I live with two other housemates. One of them was going back to live with her parents for a while. The other one was about to start shift work. And I was just feeling quite apprehensive about kind of moving into winter with potentially a lot more time kind of on my own around in the house. And I remember being here in the church building for the last on-site 7 p.m. before we were going back online. And I was having not a very Moses-like conversation with God, really. I think I was sort of chuntering away a bit, saying I was really dreading the next few months. God, please, will you do something about it? Will you sort it out? And I just sort of really sensed him gently saying, actually, this is an invitation to get to know me better, to spend time with me, to seek me. And in those moments where it was going to feel quiet, where it was going to feel lonely, there was an invitation from God to get to know him more. And so I made a choice that evening to try and use the kind of extra time that I was going to have, those quieter times over the next few months, to seek God, to know him more, to get to know him better. And I don't want you to think that it was all perfect or get the impression that I was in this kind of constant state of resting in God's presence. Definitely not. There were certainly opportunities that I missed. There were times when I would distract myself with other things, probably times where I wallowed in a bit of self-pity. But there are actually also definitely moments where I did choose to seek God more, where I did ask to know him. And I just found that I kind of experienced his presence in a really special, in a really close way. When it was very quiet in the house, I'd put on some worship music, I'd choose to worship, and it would change my perspective. When maybe it was quiet at the dinner table and there weren't other people around to talk to, I would choose to talk to God. I would seek him in that moment. And kind of in the emptiness, in the quietness, I found that God revealed himself more and more, and I was able to kind of learn that actually God was enough in those times. And I think gradually as my heart sort of became a bit more like Moses maybe, I said, God, I want to know you more. I saw that he responded. In those moments, I felt his presence. I knew that God was close. And I don't know about you, but more recently, as restrictions have been easing, my diary has definitely started to fill up again. Things are starting to feel busier. And I know I've spoken to quite a few other people recently who've just said, life has just suddenly got very busy, very full again. And of course, it's so special to be able to catch up with people who we've been waiting to see for months, people that we haven't been able to see face to face for a long time. But I think I just really encourage us not to rush full on straight back into kind of life as it always was. Actually, were there rhythms in lockdown that you found helpful? Were there times, were there moments where you were able to get away with God, where you were able to seek him more? Let's choose to guard those moments. Let's choose to be intentional with those rather than let life just kind of start to take over again. Because I know the difference that spending more time with God made to me. And so I'm trying to be careful to kind of guard those moments to make sure I still seek God as a kind of a first thought rather than turning to other things, to make sure I still take myself off for a walk without any other agenda, just other than spending time with God. Because I know that, it was so helpful to connect with him more, to seek him more. And I saw the difference that that made. Annie Dillard, an American author, says this: how we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. And so if we want our lives to be about knowing God, I think we've got to make sure that's how we spend our days. Otherwise, to be honest, I think it just might never happen. Life could pass us by. And I think the weekly and the daily rhythms that we've been starting to think about over these last few weeks are an opportunity. They're God's invitation to get to know him more. Because as I write down on a Sunday evening what I'm thankful for over the last week, I get to know God's goodness and I'm reminded of his faithfulness. As I confess where I've messed up, as I turn back to God, I get to know his mercy and his forgiveness afresh. As I pray, as I go about my day, I get to see where God is working in the world, where he's answering prayer. As I read my Bible in the morning, I get to draw closer to God. I get to know more of him. As I set aside a Sabbath day each week, I'm reminded that God is in control, that he gives us the gift of rest. And so rhythms aren't just for rhythm's sake, to say that we've done them because we feel like we should or we need to tick it off the list. But actually, as we ask to know God more, believing that he wants to take us deeper, that he wants to grow our relationship with him, then those rhythms are a way of drawing closer to him, of getting to know God more. And God said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked. And I believe that God says the same to us if we ask, if we choose to want to know him more. Years ago, I read a book by Kay Warren called Choose Joy, When Happiness Isn't Enough. And something that's kind of really stuck with me since then and that I've tried to make into a bit of a habit is how she encourages readers to kind of recognise beauty in the small things and beauty in the everyday. And she really encourages you to kind of stop and consciously say to yourself at various points in the day, God, I'm loving this moment. And as I've sort of tried to do this and think about this, I think what I've learned is that actually getting to know God more, getting to know him better, isn't necessarily about those mountaintop, those life-changing moments, as great as they might be. But it's about learning to recognise God in the everyday, in what's seemingly mundane, in what might seem very ordinary. And so when I wake up, I can choose to recognise that actually this is a new day. It's a gift from God. When I brush my teeth in the morning, I can thank God for the body that he's given me, the way that he has created me. I can get to know him better. As I walk to work in the morning, not actually very far from me, but I can bring my day before God. I can ask for his help. I can ask to get to know him more during that day. The Message version of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Every day, I think there's that invitation to get to know God more. And so I'd love to invite the band back up, and we're just going to spend a bit of time responding to this, receiving that invitation to get to know God more. So I'm just going to read verse 13 for us again. Moses says, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Teach me your ways so I may know you. And I think this morning there's an invitation from God to echo that prayer in our hearts, to say to God that we want to know more of him, that we want to learn to walk in his ways. Maybe there's a challenge there to not settle for what we've seen God do in the past, to not settle for what we already know of God, but actually to step into that greater intimacy with God, that deeper relationship with him. Maybe there's a challenge to start to recognise God in the small things, in the everyday, in what might feel the mundane, but actually recognising that we can get to know God in every moment of every day. So I just encourage you just to take a moment to be still now, wherever you are, whatever's going on around you. Let's just be still and just invite the presence of God to meet with us again. Teach me your ways so I may know you. God, I thank you that we only have to ask and you will respond. You will reveal yourself to us, Lord. And so for those of us that is our heart's cry this morning, God, to know you more, I pray that right now, in this moment, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us, that we would know your presence holding us close. Lord, that we would open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to those everyday, ordinary moments where you are showing us more of who you are. And God, where we might have kind of settled in the past and thought we'd seen it all, or we've got to know you enough, and we might just want to kind of settle down and feel more comfortable. Lord, we're sorry for where we haven't kind of received that invitation to step into a deeper relationship with you. And I pray that you would stir our hearts, Lord, that you would give us a passion to know you more. Lord, and as we seek to create rhythms, to create patterns in our lives that give us space and time and an opportunity to get to know you. Lord, would you show us the ways that, truly going to create that space for time with you. Lord, would you help us to be disciplined where we need to be in setting aside that time, in creating those moments, Lord, because it's our heart's cry to know you more. That's why we do what we do. That's why we open our Bibles in the morning. That's why we pray, because we want to know you more. We want to get to know you better. And so as we move back into a time of worship, God, will you continue to speak to us? Would you show us what that looks like for each one of us, Lord? God, we say right now, we want to know you more. Come, Holy Spirit.